Recording in progress.
All right, it is 6:30, so we will get started tonight. Welcome and thank you for coming to the Planning Commission meeting tonight. We will move straight into our public comments. These are public comments that are not pertaining to the public hearing or other agenda items that are listed on the agenda today. So if we have any comments that want to be made outside of the agenda topics, now's the time for that. Seeing as there is none, we will move to agenda item number 3, consideration of a conditional use permit for Renew Appliances at 25 North, 400 West, and Doug Larson is the applicant. Mr. Larson, are you here today?
He's not, but I'm here.
Okay.
Chase? Okay.
Chase, that's your name? Okay. Thank you for being here. And Mackenzie.
All righty. This is a conditional use permit application for a company called Renew Appliances, LLC. They are requesting to operate at 25 North, 400 West in Unit 6. This property is zoned manufacturing distribution. And in the manufacturing distribution zone, used merchandise stores and appliance repair and maintenance are both uses that are conditional there. This business buys appliances such as dishwashers, microwaves, washers, dryers, oven ranges, etc., and refurbishes and cleans them to then resell them to the residents of Utah. They do not do any sort of refrigeration or freezers. They said that would take a whole bunch of extra permitting due to the Freon or whatever is in there, the chemical. So they do not mess around with any of that. They typically sell their products online, and most customers will come to the facility to pick up the product themselves, but the business offers delivery to residents of Davis and Salt Lake counties. The lot has one existing building that's on your screen, and in that building are 6 units. The entire parking lot has approximately 73 parking stalls, and Renew Appliance has for sure provided at least, or the business, excuse me, the property owner has allotted this business a minimum of 3 parking stalls, no matter what, they're guaranteed. And I assume that's how it works for every other unit in this building where there are 6. The business is required to have a total of 7 parking stalls based on their square footages, as you can see on the staff report. And if every single unit has 3 dedicated parking stalls, that leaves 55 stalls for overflow, which is very compliant with this code, and we have never experienced any parking issues at this location. The business will employ a maximum of 3 people with hours of operation of 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday through Fridays. They will work some Saturdays to accommodate customers. They do not anticipate customer walk-ins. Most of the customers will have pre-scheduled appointments to come and look at the specific item they found on the website that they want to purchase. The business has 1 cargo van, and during the day, when it's not out doing deliveries, it will be parked in one of the designated parking stalls. And during the evenings, nights, weekends, it'll be parked inside the bay door of the warehouse. The business anticipates 1 delivery to the warehouse per day and no more than 1 to 2 deliveries going out of the warehouse per day. And we wanted to hit on, there will be no outdoor storage at this location and the business activities will all incur inside the actual warehouse. We will not see, and we can't see, washers and dryers stacking up on the side of the building, right? So the Development Review Committee is recommending approval of this conditional use permit for Renew Appliances LLC at 25 North, 400 West, Unit 6, with no conditions. And I'm happy to answer any questions you have.
Great, thanks, Mackenzie. Any questions from the commission?
So thank you for that. Just one specific question. It seems, I drove down, they have a couple of dumpsters, but
with that type of business, do we know whether they would have any significant volume of waste stream that would require additional dumpsters or metal recycling dumpsters or anything like that that hasn't been accounted for? Would that all be within their warehouse space, the enclosed space? Or?
Can I have Chase come up and answer that question?
Absolutely.
If you don't mind, state your name for him.
So my name is Chase Leyba. I'm one of the owners over there. What we have designed, I'm from Seattle, so I'm all about saving the earth here. So anyways, what we have is once a day we have one of our guys go to the waste and the dump, and we dump metal containers and then plastic at the waste. And so anything that we feel is going to harm, we do it ourselves. We take it to the proper places, and then our everyday trash will go into the dumpster, so we don't have an overflow of trash going to the dumpsters.
The accumulation containers, are they within the building?
Oh, absolutely. So we probably, I would say, empty just a normal size trash can every couple of days. So it's not more than normal.
Great. Thanks, Chase. Any other questions or discussion from the commission?
I have a question about, you talked about a cargo vehicle. I don't know exactly what you called it, but I was curious to know if there's like bigger vehicles going in and out of that area. It's not like semis or anything. Okay.
Not for this business.
Okay.
I didn't do a ton of research on what other businesses are operating out of this location, but I do know right now they don't have any problem with that. And this specific location, he has said it's not going to be tractor trailers. It's going to be the cargo van, and then someone who has their pickup truck to come pick up the washer they just bought.
Okay, thank you.
Any other comments or discussion? If not, we can move to a motion.
Commissioner Jorgensen, I move that the Planning Commission approve the conditional use permit for Renew Appliances LLC located at 25 North, 400 West, Unit Number 6, with no conditions.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you. Any comment or discussion on the motion as it stands? All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Aye. Any opposed? And the motion carries. All right. Thank you. Thank you for being here, and good luck to you with your business. Okay. We are now going to move into agenda items 4, 5, and 6 that we will discuss together, right?
Is this? Yes.
Okay. So the public hearings have been advertised separately on these issues, but we're going to handle them as one agenda item today. So as we open the public hearing, it will pertain to both agenda items 4, 5, and 6, all comments at the same time. Sherry.
Great. Thank you. So if you'll recall, last month on the 24th, you held a public hearing on the proposed zoning for the Val Verde annexation area. At that hearing, we had a couple of issues raised by the public comments. They were related to the code amendment, or the regulations in the R17 and the RM7 zone, as well as the regulations in the CH zone, and one property owner who requested that we consider his property for RM7 zoning instead of R17 zoning. And then due to those things, you asked me to re-advertise the public hearing, send out new notices regarding those changes, and bring them forward to you for your review. So first, I would like to cover the text amendment changes that I have drafted for you. So this first one had to do with the residential zones. In our current zoning, we require 7,000 square feet for a single family dwelling and then an additional 3,000 square feet for a duplex. In the previous county zoning, they required 9,000 square feet for a single family dwelling and 9,000 square feet for a duplex, so there was no additional square footage. As we started to look at that, we thought about how we allow a single family dwelling on 7,000 square feet to have an accessory dwelling unit, a basement apartment, and in essence, a two family dwelling on 7,000 square foot. And we haven't had any issues with parking or detrimental issues based upon having 3,000 square foot less to have a single family dwelling with an accessory dwelling unit. So to make sure that it's equitable, we are proposing that those be changed to be the same lot size for a single family or a two family dwelling. So it won't make any difference whether that unit's an ADU or whether it's a duplex. That's the first proposal. The second issue or concern that was raised was with our highway commercial zone, which is the zone that we are recommending the county C2 zone be changed to. And that CH zone has a standard for a rear setback of 0 feet and a maximum height of 60 feet, excuse me. And the county zoning had required a 10-foot rear setback and a 30-foot maximum height. And so as I went back and looked at the CH zoning and also in our draft form-based code for the town center, we had some regulations in there that we have drafted up about stepping back the setbacks from higher structures. So the draft that I have for your consideration tonight is that we change the height regulations in the CH zone to a maximum height of 30 feet and 2 stories. Previously, it currently is 60 feet and 4 stories, whichever is lower. And then I wrote in an exception to that height regulation based upon setbacks. So, for instance, if you had a 10-foot setback, you can only have a height of 30 feet. If you put in a 20-foot setback, so a 10 additional feet, then you could go to 35 feet. If you had a setback of 40 feet, and this is from a property line with a single family dwelling on it. So if you have a 40-foot setback, you would be allowed to go to 45 feet and 3 stories, and 60 feet setback, you could go to 4 stories and 55 feet. I am not advocating any of these over and above. I was just trying to find a compromise in between our current regulation and what we're going to be putting in the town center form-based code. But if you don't feel strongly about not allowing the conditional use permit for heights to go higher, I have no objection to you withdrawing that section. And then again, putting the minimum setback to 10 feet on the rear of the property. So that's the first change. Do you have any questions specific to that? And just, this is a diagram I put together so that you could see it. And this is scaled so it would match. So what I was looking at is I looked at what would a single family dwelling, and this is it on the diagram here to the left. We allow in the single family zone a maximum height of 35 feet. So I scaled that off. I was assuming this was a side setback for a single family home. So I set it at 10 feet from the property line. If it were a rear setback, it would be a minimum of 25 feet under our code. So this would be, gives you a visual diagram of the distance if they were 10 feet from the property line. Again, what I said, the 30 feet in height. If they were 20 feet away, they could go to 35 feet, 40 feet to 45 feet. And if they were 60 feet, they could go to 55 feet under the way it's drafted. So that's just a representation of that.
Sherry, will you just say one more time, what was the setback with the county previously?
It was 10 feet and a maximum height of 30 feet.
Thanks.
Okay. So the second item that you asked me to re-advertise, Mr. Blundell has this property located at, I just want to turn my page here. This is property located at 3943 South, 850 West. It is approximately 0.89 acres in size. That's 38,795 square feet. The property contains one single family dwelling home, and it's bordered on the north by single family homes. They're proposed to be zoning of R17, and to the south by the south and east by the Sycamore Grove PUD. It is zoned RM7. So just for background and for your information, Sycamore Grove is a development of two family dwellings. They're owner-occupied condo units. The development has 18 units on 2.5 acres. That worked out to be 7.2 dwelling units per net acre, or per gross acre and 9 per net acre. So essentially, if Sycamore Grove had been approved by the city under the RM7 zone ordinance in effect today, the development would have only been allowed to have 16 units instead of the 18 units that it does have. When I calculated, I looked at Mr. Blundell's property. If it was zoned RM7, they could approximately have 6 dwelling units on it, and they could be attached. So it could be a 6-unit townhome building. If it was zoned R17, the density would still be the same, and we believe it would be able to have 6 units, and those would be instead in 3 twin homes. So we have received some public comment in opposition to this proposal. I believe you had those attached in your packet, and we have gotten a couple more that I'll have Mackenzie read into the record when we open up the public comment period. That is the proposal for that. And then just a review of the original public hearing. So this was the Davis County zoning before it was annexed. You can see the 3 zones, R1, R2, and R3, and the C2 zone. And this is the proposed zoning that we reviewed last time, minus the area with Mr. Blundell's property request. Now, I have structured the staff report to give you 3 separate motions, even though we're handling this all in one staff report and in one public hearing. But the motions should all be separately because they're different. They're different decisions, and they're also all need to 3 go separately to the city council so they can make the decisions independent. I don't want them to feel like if you made a recommendation on Mr. Blundell's rezoning and they didn't like that recommendation but like the rest of that, I didn't want them to reject all of the other changes because they didn't like one of the 3 changes. So that's why I drafted your motions in 3 separate motions. I've also provided you with proposed motions on Mr. Blundell's request, both in favor and in recommending denial, in case you decide to go either of those 2 ways. Do you have any questions before you reopen the public hearings?
I have a question about the multi, what is that zone called? Sorry.
RM7?
Yeah, RM7. Is there any parking that's required that's not on the street?
So in every, whether it's a single family or whether it's a multiple family dwelling, each of the units is required to have 2 spaces, and one of those spaces is required to be covered. So it could either be a carport or a garage. So for each unit. So
okay.
If you,
yeah. And on the property.
Right.
And in developments with more than 4 dwelling units, multifamily, not single family, there is a requirement of, in addition to the 2 required parking stalls, 0.25 required parking stalls per unit for guest parking.
Okay.
So,
thank you.
And that can be accommodated in separate guest spaces if you did a PUD, or it could be accommodated in driveways.
But just to confirm, parking. The density is the same in either zone?
The density is the same in the R17 and the RM7. The only difference is the building type that's allowed. So in the R17, you can have a single-family dwelling or a 2-family dwelling. In the RM7, you can have all of the units could be attached, like attached townhomes, row houses.
Sherry, in the language that you drafted on the CH zone, Chapter 25, under the exceptions by conditional use, there was a location, town master plan, or can you explain that? What you're doing on that?
So you're going to have to ask me that question again.
Okay, so if you pull up the amended language on Chapter 25 on the CH zone, there's that item A1. Can you just clarify what we're doing here?
Oh, okay. So one of the things that I wanted to say in the CH zone for this, because the CH zone is in effect for the town center master plan, but it's also outside of the master plan where it's adjacent to the Valverde annexation. It actually is outside of the town center master plan. So the height exception would not be allowed outside of the town center master plan. So that is basically 3,800 south. So anything north of there, they couldn't go higher than 2 stories and 30 feet. The only place they could go higher than 30 stories and or 30 feet and two stories would be within the town center master plan area, which is the area that will be rezoned in the future to the form-based code. I wanted to make that distinction, and thank you for catching that. I didn't mention that. So anything north on this in the CH zone, north of 3800 South, would not be able to get an exception to the height. That would be limited to 30 feet in those areas.
Can I make a clarification on that too? So this is basically kind of a stopgap until we have the town center form-based code adopted and the area is rezoned. So yes, that if in the meantime a developer came through and they're south of that barrier that she just said, that road, then they could potentially still develop in conformance with the future adopted form-based code. But everything north would have to meet the standard, correct?
Right. And then just as I'm looking at it too, reminding myself, I also said if you were north of 1,000 North, so that's our 1,000 North, not the Bountiful addresses. So that's where R&R Barbecue is and the Key Bank building. So basically the only areas that are left that will be CH are adjacent to other commercial zones and on the opposite side of the highway. So I wanted to make sure that if we had redevelopment happen where Key Bank is, where that Key Bank building is, that they could still take advantage of the higher building heights where it would not be impactful on single-family residential. The Jiffy Lube and the Key Bank building.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments or discussion for staff?
Sorry, just one more, and I apologize if I missed this. Popping back to the 3943 South, what is currently allowed in the county zoning for that? What does that look like?
In the county zoning, under the R2 zoning, they would have been allowed duplexes, so two family dwellings on 9,000 square foot lots.
Thank you.
All right. We can come back to staff after we do the public hearing. I'm sure some more questions will come up, but if there's anything else we want to address now, give a minute. All right. Thank you, Sherry. And thank you to our staff for all of the dedicated effort that they have put into trying to find the most equitable solutions to merging the county code into our city code, which is a necessary thing that has to be done through this annexation. So thank you for all of your diligent and dedicated work. Also, I want to thank you guys for being here tonight, taking time out of your evening to be here and partake in the political process in action here tonight. I'm sure many of you were here at the last public hearing, and I am hoping that you are able to see through the staff's effort and the commission's effort and city council effort that we really are trying to do the best that we can to find a middle ground that works for the residents' requests and that is reasonable and feasible within the zoning that we already have existing in the city. So we really are trying to meet everybody here in a way that can be the best for the new annexed area and for the city. We're glad that you're here, and it's extremely helpful in the political process to have people here and comment. As you have seen tonight, a lot of these things that we proposed last time have been revamped and edited because of the comments. So hopefully everybody feels heard. This is the time to be heard, to voice your opinion, how you feel about that. Tonight we are talking specifically about these zoning changes. So as we open the public hearing, if you can be mindful that these are the topics that are on the agenda tonight and the topics that we can address tonight. We are not going to use a timer tonight because I'd like to let everybody say what they need to say and not feel like you're being rushed by us, but please be mindful of the time. And if you can wrap up all of your comments into one time coming up to the microphone, that would be very helpful for us and for our meeting secretary. So when you come to the microphone, if you can state your name and your address, that also is very helpful for our meeting minutes. And again, like we said at the beginning of the meeting, we will do all three of these agenda items, the public hearings, at the same time. And you don't necessarily need to address which one you're talking about, but if you'd like to, we can refer to them as the Blundell property, the setbacks, and the Valverde area, but you don't have to do that unless you want to specifically address something. So we will go ahead and open the public hearing right now. And anybody that wants to come forward and make a comment, we welcome you to the microphone. Thank you.
Chair Larson, can I read into the record the public comment we received via email after the packet was sent? Okay. So on Tuesday, February 14th at 6:33 p.m., we received a email public comment from resident Kirk Stratton. And the letter reads, "To whom it may concern, my name is Kirk Stratton, and I am one of the residents that was recently annexed into North Salt Lake. I was surprised to see the rezoning issue being considered for the property located at 3943 South, 850 West by the Planning Commission. You may recall the open house that was held last October for the unincorporated area and was sponsored by North Salt Lake. During that meeting, on more than one occasion, I was reassured that the annexed area would remain the same, that there was a buffer dedicated around the area. This was one of the reasons I supported the annexation, and this is why I'm surprised the proposal is even under consideration. I could name a dozen reasons why a multi-unit complex shouldn't be built, but I'll name just one. We were promised. I'm perfectly fine with another single-family home or even a duplex. In fact, I would welcome it because the property is in such disrepair, and I strongly oppose anything more than that. So please honor the comments, the commitments made, excuse me. Sincerely, Kirk Stratton." And I also provided you guys all with a physical copy tonight.
Great. Thank you, Mackenzie. And we will turn the time over to the public, anybody that wants to make a comment.
I am Janice Tweedy. I believe you got a letter from me also. I happen to live right next door to this property, and I would be glad, more than glad, to see it cleaned up, but I do not want multifamily living people in there. We have the 90 townhouses in a very small range. I told on my letter. Actually, I said two blocks to my south, north, and it was only one block to my north, two blocks to my south, one block above me, and down to the highway. We have 90 townhomes, 9 twin homes, 15 fourplexes, 6 duplexes, 1 triplex, 6 basement apartments that we know of that people live in. Besides, we have the care center on 4000 South. If I were to go above me or beyond me on either side or below me and take all of North Salt Lake where it all used to be us originally when I moved in here, there are so many multiple family dwellings, it is pathetic. My road has been absolutely inundated with it, and 850 West is not a wide road. It's a narrow road. And Joellen has written a letter, and she said, Joellen Ashworth, and she has said as much too. You get a car on one side of that, you have to have a car stop to be able to come down the street. There is no sense in this. We do not need it. That's all it is about, is money, money, money. We fought Papadakis's. The people in there are nice people, and it's cleaned that area up, and I don't mind it. But even at that, you've got people in your backyard. Multi-living, family living just brings not good things to your neighborhood. We'd love to keep our neighborhood clean. We'd like to keep the good neighbors that we have in there. I'm a widow. I don't have anybody to stand up for me. And what do you do? I don't know if you Salt Lake Council people have already made up your mind. You think that would be a good thing to do. Any of you live by multifamily or live in multifamily places? Do you love it? Do you like it? I've had cars on my side of the street, a Jeep parked on my side of the street for 2 months with Arizona license plates on it. Nobody did anything. Nobody moved it. The kids that lived in the duplex, fourplex across the street also had people coming and going and going and coming, bringing their sleeping bags, bringing their pillows, opening the trunk of their cars, putting on their deodorant in the morning, getting in, leaving, coming back, and sleeping. We have other people who park up the street in front of other people's houses so that they can come and sleep in somebody else's apartment. I think we have enough. And I hope that you will really consider that you would put you in our shoes. When I moved in here, there were seven, being LDS, there were 700 people in our ward. It was a very transit ward. And then they built apartments on 4,100, which were 8 fourplexes. And that even added more to it. Finally, they divided some of those off. I'm not opposed to people living in apartments. We've all had that opportunity to, in our life. But I think you just keep glutting people's areas and putting up apartments. Didn't our governor just say, we can't have all this problem. Our resources will not stand for it. I have no pressure on my water when I water. What are we going to do? We've been in a drought. It's been terrible. I really hope that you guys will really consider and really think hard about approving this. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
My name's Chris Moss. I live at 3552 South, 800 West. And I am a part of this community, and I will tell you, all the people in this community is against this. And I would like to ask, is this property even large enough to qualify for consideration of rezoning? And then my second question would be, how does this help the community? I would like to have an answer. How does this help the community? It doesn't. We are already having water shortages, like she mentioned. We're having all sorts of problems, but no city wants to take the responsibility and step up and say, enough of this building on top of each other. We got too many families coming in, too many people. We don't have the natural resource, which is number one, water. It's time to start considering that. And you are our city planners. Let's start, sit down and plan. Where's our, a place for the retired community? Where's our dog parks? There's so much for you guys can consider, stuff that helps the community. This does not help the community in any way. Nobody in this area wants to see it. And like I say, number one question, is it even big enough to be considered for rezoning?
Thank you, Mr. Moss. I can address those two questions, or if the staff wants to hop in here. But yes, it is large enough to meet the requirements for that. Also, under the county, it was also large enough to do the six pluses, so it doesn't actually change the density. It just changes the way that the buildings could be formatted on that. And then as far as meeting the needs of the community, all citizens are part of this community, whether they've been in North Salt Lake for 6 months or 60 years. All the citizens here do need to have their needs met, and that's why we try and mitigate these problems and find this middle ground, and we are absolutely in a housing crisis. And our staff and our planners do an amazing job with the expectation and requirements that are placed on them by the legislature that are laws that our city have to meet with the housing needs. So there is a very delicate and intricate balance that is going on with the laws, the expectations that we have to meet as a city, as well as trying to find the way to help all the citizens that want to live in the city, both that have been here for a very long time and people that are new to the city that are looking for housing that is reasonable. Any other comment on that?
Yeah, the only thing I would add to that is that each property owner has the right to request a rezone on his or her property and have the right to have this hearing before the Planning Commission and get a recommendation to the City Council, whether that recommendation is in favor of their change that they're requesting or whether that recommendation is to deny their request. So this is the time that for this particular instance where they've made a request, and they have the right to have that request heard before you, just the same as the citizens have the right to come and tell us how they feel about that. And that's the process.
Yep, so that is the
thank you for participating
that we're doing tonight. Yeah, and it is very important, and we're glad to have you here doing it. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Steve Beezer. I live at 3882 South, 850 West, pretty close to the Blundell's property. Under consideration here. I've sat in your seats before and serving the community of the Davis County level. And I know that we're caught in kind of a conundrum here, a couple levels. We're a newly acquired group of people with varied interests and trying to be assimilated into the North Salt Lake style of operations. And I understand also that we are in very unique times where there is high growth, not enough housing throughout the state, and yet there's a need to balance quality of life, as I think Mr. Moss mentioned also, for those that have been there. This scooch over, move over, let's, you know, let others in, has to be balanced against that quality of life, I feel. And that's to the point I'd like to, the question I'd like to address is, we've come, become part of your city here fairly recently. What is the process for master plan? Do North Salt Lake, I assume, has a five-year plan? This doesn't include our area yet, does it? Has it been incorporated, your master
plan? It has not been incorporated, and we're starting a general plan update this summer.
Okay. All right. We'll have a chance to have voice in that, I would guess, I would hope. Because in talking with the various neighbors, there's lots of confusion that has come as a result of this particular the annexation and then the rezoning, but also with all of the unique growth. These townhomes that are just west of me on the highway came in, and then there's the other project that is next to Blundell's. And so there's a lot of unsettledness with the people as to what's going to happen next. And I submit that there could have been some changes that would have been better for the community, probably, had there been more discussion with some of the property owners by the developers earlier on, easing perhaps some of the access problems in that development on 38th and 500 West, the old highway. So I'm just asking for, and you've answered the question, there is a master planning that's taking place. I think it'll help to alleviate some of the concerns and issues that are happening here, because there's people literally, myself included, that are holding off on making improvements to the properties because it may change. People may come along and want to incorporate to take advantage of the higher, better use. So that's it. That's my comments. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Hello, I'm Elaine Christensen, 3552 South 800 West. Number one, I'm totally against more multifamily living in that small area. We have, since they put all these condos, apartments, whatever you want to call them in, I live on 800. People go up that road 50, 60 miles an hour, and nobody, I did see a police officer for the first time over the weekend. North Salt Lake was in the church parking lot. But nobody gets pulled over. Nobody stops. We have kids walking to school day and morning and night. Nobody's stopping these speeders. And I hate to say it, but it's mainly people going to the schools that are speeding past my home. So I don't think we need any more. If you go up 3800, they put a red curb on the parking side by the condos, townhomes, whatever you guys call these places. So they can't park in front of their buildings, so they go across the street and park in front of the people who have homes across the street. It's just a nightmare. Also, I just wanted a point of clarification on the, what's that street? Orchard, not Orchard, 89. You're not going to let any home, building over 60 or 30 feet now? Okay, so I don't have to, no matter how far back they are from my property, they're not going to go over 30 feet. Okay, that was my concern there. I appreciate your addressing that. And again, I don't think we need any more. We are so low on water. They're cutting our water off already. And even though these places may not have big yards, they have people using water. So I think, as our governor did say, Californians need to not move here right now because we have shortages. So maybe we need to slow down anybody. But that's just my point of opinion.
Great. Thank you, Ms. Christensen.
Thank you. Hello, my name is Shane Dean. I live at 831 West, 3900 South. So the Blundell's property backs up to my property line. I moved there about 10 years ago, raising a family there. We have two kids. It was hard to watch Papadakis's property go. I understand the restraints the city has with the growing population. But it was, you know, I bought that house, that property, due to the yard, to be able to raise a family, to be able to have kids run around or ride bikes. There's no sidewalks there. More and more traffic's coming in. Now I walk out my backyard, and I'm looking right into someone's bedroom, looking down. It's just real defeating. You know, I'm sitting here trying to pay my house off because I want to raise a family there and start, you know, doing upgrades, clean the yard up, do everything in the house. But no, not if I'm going to walk out to an apartment building. I mean, at this point, I might as well get out. I mean, my kids, you know, we go to ride on the street. You got so much traffic now with both the cars on both sides. It's scary. I mean, it's literally to go for a walk around our block, I have to hold the kids' hands because there is so much traffic going back and forth. There is no parking. And, you know, it's concerning to see that a property that's that key to that little area be so neglected for so many years. And the city, and I don't like to see the city jump in on people's stuff. He's got a right to do what he wants to do, but there's got to be a limit. I mean, as you all know, it is horrible. Horrible. And to know that he's got potential to be a landowner of an apartment building, I mean, the apartment he loans across the street is an eyesore. You know, you want to pull your kids closer when you walk by these guys' property. And now you're going to give them carte blanche on this. As a family guy living in the neighborhood with that property backed up, I would really hope you'd consider, and like the rest of the community says, put yourself in our shoes. If it's going to turn into an apartment neighborhood, and it's going to be really interesting to see the big plan, we're out. We're taking our families and leaving. It's not a family neighborhood anymore. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Brian DeVries. I live at 839 West, 3900 South. Again, my property is just due north of the Blundell proposed change, and I wanted to reiterate what Mr. Dean just said. There are no sidewalks on those streets, on either 850 or 3900. There are no streetlights. All right, where are these people going to park? All right, so I'm with Mr. Dean. I bought the house from the Greens 10 years ago, and I'm trying to do improvements, but if this happens, it's cut and run. All right. I look at what's happening in downtown Salt Lake. I don't want North Salt Lake to become a transient suburb of high-density housing for Salt Lake City. All right. I moved from Ogden from a condo complex to this home for the yard, for the privacy, and that's that. So thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Dee Lalas. I don't live in this area that they're talking about, but I do have a consideration about it. As some of them know, and all of you know, I come to all these meetings because I'd like to see what's going on. One thing that I've observed about this piece of property that they are talking about, if it is zoned in R17, they can put three units with two apartments or two residences in each unit. If they make it an RM7, they can put one unit on there with six units in it, which is the same thing. And so I'm not sure that the considerations that they're saying about we want less people there is, one of them says we'll have one building that they could put together, and the other one says we can have three buildings put together. So, but what I would really like to address is, and I've talked to Sherry about this a little bit when I came in, the CH zone that is along a highway. I thought currently that we had already taken care of the town center, but I guess we haven't got that far yet. So the town center zone part of it, which is from basically Center Street south, or actually from 3800 south. But because of all the buildings are in there, I don't think that the town center is going to tear down any of those buildings and build big apartment buildings like we have across the street to the north of this building. But when the zoning comes in, zoning off the town center, the C8 zone will only apply to that area, which is along a highway between 3800 and 2600 south. On the west side of that is a trail and a park, which will not ever be developed into housing until you get clear down to where the car lot, Rands, I'm not sure if that's what it's called now or not, but I think so, and also the Key Bank, and where the R&R cafe is, or the restaurant there, and those buildings west of that, which have already pretty much built in everything that's there. So that part of it I don't think has any application. But on the east side, as I drove down there today, I think there are about three or four lots that could fall into something of rebuild. And I always thought that having a 30-foot building up against somebody's backyard was really not very safe for that backyard. And as Sherry has put together the new zone requirements for the CH zone, if it's a 10-foot setback, I think that the maximum you could have right up against that should be a one-story building. If you have a 20-foot setback, I'd say you could probably have a two-story building. And looking at that, I'm not sure that we have enough setback that they could put anything more than a three-story building there, because that property is not that wide. And so I support what Sherry's put together for the CH zone of saying a 10-foot setback or a 20-foot setback and a maximum of 30 feet of any building in that, that it will not change any of the buildings that are currently there. It will allow for somebody to match those buildings. I don't think we need any buildings along there that are over three stories, and I don't think that there are any of them that really fit into the category where they've got enough footprint that they can have a front setback and a back setback to where they can have any more than, they might be able to put in a three-story building there with the new recommendations that Sherry's put in there. But I think that she said that the way that it is written, that they couldn't have any more than 30 feet currently, the way that, because we would not allow any variances to go in that area. So I support the new CH, and I think it's a good thing to do, and we need to do it.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Lee Workman. I live at 245 North Glenwood Way in Sycamore Grove, a high-density area. And my request is that you would consider the infrastructure in the area before you increase density. The 850 is very narrow. There are no sidewalks or streetlights. And to increase the amount of traffic even more in that area without the infrastructure to allow for that would be what I would request. So thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Cheryl Bonner. I grew up in North Salt Lake and then married and left. I'm back. I live in Sycamore Grove, close to Workman's. They are telling you the right thing. There are no streetlights. It is dark, and there's not a lot of little kids, it seems to me, on 850, but there are some. You can't drive side by side on that road. If a car is coming, there are so many cars parked on the sides of the street, you have to stop and let the one car go before you can go as well. In Sycamore Grove, I don't think that there is enough guest parking. It's a constant battle within the community of our own little development, and that passed. If you get one or two people that have several drivers, all the guest parking is all taken up. Where do those people park? They're going to park on the street of 850 West, and you don't have any parking. I mean, I do feel badly for them because I feel like they think I'm part of the problem too. But it is, it's very dangerous on that street. No sidewalks and no streetlights. I don't want the Blundells to think that they can't use their property if it's zoned properly, because I think they have that right. But I don't think the density needs to be more than a duplex. So thank you.
Thank you.
My name's Laura Call. I live at 828 West, 3900 South. I live across the street from Dean's, whose backyard is up against the property that's being referred to. I have a question. The Sycamore Grove area that was built and approved by North Salt Lake, correct? No?
Oh. That development, yeah, was done through the county and then annexed post-development.
Oh, okay. Didn't know that. The residents who live across the street from me who abut the Sycamore Grove area were told that the street level would be level with their house. The street levels would be the same on both sides of the property. But how it ended up is their street level is equal with the top of their 6-foot fence line. So someone could just walk down the street and hop over the fence, hop down 6 feet. And I was wondering, are we going to consider this when if we are building houses? Is the ground level of this new area going to be as high as Sycamore Grove, or is it going to be as low as the houses on 3900 South? I want to point that out, that there's a huge discrepancy. And the people who live on 3900 South have these huge two-story homes that start 6 feet above the ground looking down on them. So just throwing that out, I don't know if that's something you want to consider.
I can just address that. The grade of any project that would go in there would come through with the project. Since there's no project application available, there isn't anything that is supposedly going in there at this time. We're just talking about zoning, but I do know that that grading is a little bit clunky over there, and that was done through the county, and it is tricky. But typically, yes, and when we do setbacks and different grades like that, we do base the height of our building based on where the grade is. I don't know if staff wants to add to this, but we do try and be mindful of when houses are on a grade like that, what the felt height is in relation to the actual height where you're talking about, that the it feels more like three stories, even though it's two stories. We definitely understand that problem that comes up when projects are coming through with the grading like that.
Yeah, so this particular property is going to be faced with one side that's really high and another side that's really low right next to each other. So just throwing out that, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure I have an answer for that because I'm A, not an engineer, and B, because it's all hypothetical right now, so I can't speak to how it would be designed. I can tell you that under our review, because it wasn't reviewed by us, the plans for the subdivision itself, that was done entirely within the county. That is something that we would look at and try to make sure that they're sensitive to that and that they set those buildings up. I don't know how that happened. I don't know if when they came in, if the developer built the road up or brought in fill. I'm not really entirely sure how that happened in that case. But it is something that we deal with because we have lots of hillside development and we have lots that are above other lots in most of our developments. As you move up the hillside, everybody has somebody one step above them, I guess, until the last one is done at the top of the hill. Yeah, so I am sensitive to that, but yeah. I'm also not an engineer, so it's not really my my specialty, so I don't want to say something. And I do want to just add one comment just based on some of the other comments that were made, that we've been having some internal discussions. One of the things our public works noticed when we took over the annexation area, they came back and said, hey, did you know there's only two streetlights in the entire annexation area. So they are aware of that, and they are working on a plan. Obviously, it's going to cost money to get more streetlights added, but they are working on that, and they are aware of that. There's probably conflicting opinions as to whether or not there should be sidewalks in there or not. We've had many residents say, no, we don't want any sidewalks, and we've had heard many people say they do want it. But then at the end of the day, sidewalks are pretty expensive to put in, especially with a lot of the really nice trees over there that we do not want to take out. We do not want to ask you guys to take them out either. So it is something that we will be sensitive to, and it is something that we will be looking at with the general plan update and making some recommendations specific to this area. In our general plan, we have various areas. We have the Main Street neighborhood area. We have, some of those older neighborhoods. We have the Foxborough neighborhood. And so we will be looking at that area specific for the things that we would recommend. And there'll be a public process on that. So the citizens will have an opportunity to tell us whether or not they want sidewalks and whether or not they want additional streetlights. A lot of people don't want streetlights because they like the night sky. You know, they like it to be dark. So it's a very difficult process, but we will go through that process.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Oh, and the other comment about the red curb on 3800 South. So the red curbing was painted by Davis County because the county owned the road all the way up to the property line of the Chesham Village subdivision. So they are the ones that decided that curb should be paid red. We have been approached. We've had a citizen from across the street ask us to reconsider that red curbing. We've had staff meetings about it. We're looking for a contractor who will come in and scrub the red curb off, except for within 40 feet of the driveways. We do need to have some red curb there so that when people are coming out of those streets, they can see up and down the street to come out safely. But it will alleviate, we probably can add about 10 parking spaces back to the other side of the road. So I'm hoping that will take care of that problem for the neighborhood. Great. I don't know when it's going to be. We just have to find a contractor who can come and scrub the paint off.
Thank you, Sherry.
Hi. My name's Richard Miller. I live across the street from Blundell's property, and I like Brent and Caroline. They've always been nice to me, so I have nothing against them personally. My experience over the last couple of years is the same thing you've heard already, that the road's really narrow. Two cars park on both sides, then only one car can get through. There's just no room passing together. So there's four duplexes. What my experience is, there's four duplexes to north of us. There's a duplex right next to us. There's a duplex on the south side of us. And if any of those people have visitors, they're on the street because there's just no parking for visitors on their own property. And my wife came out one morning to go to work, and somebody had put their ass end of their car into our driveway, and she almost hit them. I mean, there was like 4 feet in our driveway, and there's just not room there for that. Also, the house south of us, there was a trailer, 20-foot trailer on the other side of the road, on Blundell's side, that was there for like a month. Then it disappeared for a few days, and it came back and had a car on top of it, and it stayed there another 2 or 3 weeks. And when the owner came out, you know, he went back out and almost hit that trailer. So it's the road's way too thin or narrow. So that's my experience with that street. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thomas Call. I am 828 West, 3900 South. You heard from my wife. Had a discussion with Mackenzie, which you answered some questions and caused more questions in my mind, so I'm glad I'm not in your seat, because I came up here with the opinion that it needs to be kept at R17 because I like the duplex feel for our community. I feel we've been overpopulated with what has happened in Sycamore Grove as well as Chelsea Village. They just crammed it too tight. And it doesn't seem like with the current zoning that we have right now, there's any way to answer the question of parking. There's not enough room for where people can park. Given what we have to choose from, I'd recommend it be R17. That'd give us the most parking, and I'd hope that if they decide to turn this into three units of three homes like there is on the other side, you would make allowances for parking so people can get in and out, and not necessarily as a high density like what we have in Sycamore Grove and the others. Parking is just nuts, and people are on the street, people are parking around the corner. Anyway, good luck in making a good decision. I would recommend R17 though. And I think the heights, by the way, are too high. Just the people that are in...
Are you talking about the...
Sycamore Grove?
The 89, okay, is Sycamore Grove.
With that R12, I understand the height thing is, it's 35 feet for both places. But what happened in Sycamore Grove is just... those homes just tower over the whole neighborhood. And good luck. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for being here.
Sherry, you're McKenzie while no one's approaching the mic. To the gentleman's comment, is there any parking requirement differences between R17 and RM7?
So the only difference would be in the RM7, we could actually require guest parking. So when you have a building that has more than four dwelling units in it, we can require a quarter guest parking space per unit. So for a fourplex, there would be one guest parking space plus the two spaces required for each unit. In a duplex situation, each of those would have to have two spaces. Now, generally, they would have two spaces in their garages and two spaces in their driveway. Sometimes they put a RV pad off to the side that has additional parking. So it's really all hypothetical without knowing what either Mr. Blundell wanted to do with it or whoever he chose to sell the property to would want to do
with
it. I wouldn't know.
And my question was derived from... Yep. Mr. Blundell's perspective of we as a council have more power to require more parking in an RM7 situation than an R17.
Yes.
I have a question also.
Can I just really quickly close the public hearing and then we'll go into the discussion? That would be great. Okay, if everybody has had a chance to say what they feel like they wanted to say tonight, we appreciate so much your voices being here and taking time out. I hope you know that we are listening to you. We are your neighbors. I know sometimes it doesn't feel that way, but we care about this area and really want to help make you feel heard and integrated. And your voices do matter. We really are hearing these problems firsthand from you in a place that we don't live in the flow necessarily. And it's very, very valuable to us. So thank you for being here. And we will close the public hearing at this time and move to commission discussion.
Okay, sorry. No, this is Commissioner Stone. Also, yes, I respect and appreciate all of you for being here. It really is very helpful to hear from you, and it's very exciting that people are taking part in this process. So I appreciate that. I do have a question about the R17. So if this were zoned as R17, is this limiting this property to a duplex, or is there possibilities that because of how much land there is, he could potentially put more than one duplex?
So without making any changes to the property without subdividing it further. I mean, it's because this hasn't been subdivided, but it's 0.89 acres. So the way our density calculations work in both of these zones are we would look at the layout, and he would have to build a road back there to do more than one dwelling unit, okay? More, if he tore down the house and just built one duplex, it would get frontage from 850 West, and that would be the end of the story. If he wanted to do more than one town or one twin home or one duplex, then he would have to build a road back there. So when I looked at just trying to calculate what the development potential on this property would be, I looked at a 26-foot road width and then with the appropriate hammerhead turnaround, because it would be longer than 150 feet, so it would need a turnaround at the end, and calculated how many square foot that would be. And I think it came out to be close to like 9,000 square feet, which would leave around 30,000 square feet. And so then you take that 30,000 square feet and you use that calculation of maximum 8 dwelling units per acre, and it's about, and obviously it's dependent upon how the road's laid out and how many square feet it takes up, but I figured it was probably, there's about 6 dwelling units that would be possible there. Now, whether or not, I mean, whether they can design something that fits that many units, I don't know, because I didn't try to lay it out. I'm not a landscape architect, but that's just the raw numbers.
The numbers.
So from raw numbers, I believe it would have a maximum of 6 dwelling units, regardless of whether it's R17 or RM7. The only difference is what the building styles could be.
So I want to echo the thanks to folks that took time out of their busy schedule to offer their heartfelt comments and feedback, and it's been very helpful. The prior hearing was helpful as well. And I would just say that, you know, a lot of what people are saying resonates with me. I used to live in this area. I lived in the Val Verde subdivision, specifically on 3300 South. And, you know, this commission knows that I'm a big advocate for safety, and I'm concerned about traffic speeds and things like that. But I had a neighbor who lived a kitty corner from me on the corner there, and it was the Kaisers. They both passed away since then, but they lost a son. He was killed right in the street, right there. And so when you worry about speeds and traffic control and all those things, I hear you. And, you know, it pains me to see that those kind of things happen. That was probably 50 years ago. But, you know, those are legitimate concerns. And as a community, we need to try to think about traffic calming. We need to certainly think about speed enforcement and all those things. Now, having said that, there's only so much we can do with what the existing configuration is. And, you know, I think that the question at hand is how to make, you know, the existing county zoning best fit what we're trying to do. And I think we've gotten good feedback on that.
To echo Commissioner Jorgensen, you know, we respect the rights of people's private property ownership and what we can do with regulate their ownership of their own land. And we have to think of Mr. Blundell as well. Of, it sounds like his land can be subdivided into 6 dwelling units or 6 dwelling units. And in the idea, I've over the last few months of hearing Val Verde being annexed into North Salt Lake, I've heard lots of comments of property rights, freedom. We bought here because it's a one less level of government, whatever it may be. You know, he has his own freedom over his own property as well, and we should respect that. And it sounds like we're debating whether he can have 6 dwelling units that are separated or 6 dwelling units that are connected. And in the fairness to the landowner that we should all respect, that numerous people in Val Verde own land in Val Verde, we want to respect their ability to own their own land and make decisions with their land. Mr. Blundell is merely asking for, can I build 6 units that are connected rather than 6 units that are slightly disconnected? My impression would be to err on the side of the landowner. with a small token of, sure, they can be connected. My thoughts.
Thank you, Commissioner Holbrook. Let's narrow in our discussion to the Blundell zoning request right now, and we can work through that motion, and then we'll go chunk each of those out. But since that is the discussion that we're on right now, let's do the conversation and discussion about that and move towards that motion, and then we will take the other two on. So any other comment, discussion, input on specifically the Blundell zoning request?
I just have a couple questions. This is Commissioner Moss. Are there height differences in what is allowable between RM and R17? And then follow-up questions, same with setbacks.
Pardon me. They are both limited to a maximum of 35 feet in height. And the front yard in both of the zones is 25 feet.
Side and rear is the same.
Side and rear is the same, which is the 12 and 8.
And the backyard is different. 25 feet for R17, 20 feet for RM7.
So 25 feet for R17 is the rear setback, and 20 feet is the rear setback for RM7.
Thank you. And then this is kind of a follow-up to my previous question prior to the public hearing. But as we were laying out the zoning, trying to match up North Salt Lake City zoning with Davis County zoning, it appears that R17 is the most similar zoning to the current Davis County zone for the 3943 property.
Yes.
Excellent, thank you. My comment kind of related to that is, as we were looking at the rest of the Valverde area, we were placing a lot of consideration on what is the most similar in the zone that we would select for that area. And I think in our discussion, we kind of came to determine that R17 was the most similar for that area. And I appreciate this coming forward in a public hearing and respecting that anybody has the ability to request a rezone public hearing. But I think in the context of this whole conversation, it is key to note that that was our initial consideration for this area. So I'll just throw that out there. I have one final question. With the road that would be required for R17, if they were to put in three twin homes, would there be parking allowable along that additional road into the property for visitors?
Maybe. It depends on what kind of what width of road they proposed. So if they proposed a road that was at least 27 feet wide of asphalt, and then you have 2 feet of gutter, so that's a drivable surface of 29 feet.
Increasing that reduces density.
31 feet, excuse me. So that would decrease their net acreage towards the density, but it also would allow on-street parking. But anything less than 26 feet of drivable surface, so that's 24 feet of asphalt with the gutters, the fire department will not allow parking on both sides of the street. It would allow parking on one side of the street, but they would put that restriction on that, and that would come from the fire district. So that's why there's so many different things in play. Then, to put another step on it too, would be depending on the H, like I'm assuming that this road would be a private road that would be put in there, not a public street, and that they would have an HOA, and that HOA would be able to vote on their rules as to what they would allow, whether they would allow on-street parking. We have a problem like that out in Foxborough with the Coventry subdivisions where those townhomes are, that they have wide enough streets that they could allow parking, but they don't. So their HOA forbids any on-street parking, so then that parking flows out and overflows into the neighborhood onto the public streets. So there are so many different factors that it's hard to say for sure. But that would be that's the general outline.
That's helpful, thank you.
So regarding the Blundell zoning request, it's been a great debate. We wouldn't be entertaining the RM7 if it wasn't for Sycamore Grove. And the city specifically wouldn't have approved it with the configuration that exists now. I don't know. I'm kind of coming back to the fact that there's a lot of it's creating grievance within, you know, the surrounding area and the community on that. So to me, that's pretty important. You know, at the end of the day, maybe it looks like this, or maybe it looks like that, maybe six units, maybe six, not, but that's all speculative. We don't really know. I don't know. I hear what the folks are saying and the feedback against the RM7, and I'm sympathetic to that.
This will be probably my last comment. But I also really do appreciate, I think even as we were talking about this annexation, we were really trying to minimize the change for this whole annexation area. And I think keeping that in mind throughout this decision will be really important. And I think it is something that we should try and honor since we were talking about it prior to the annexation.
I guess I would just say you've got some interesting things going on, because I agree that R17 is the closest to what the county had, and there were representations made that we would do the same. But that representation isn't in perpetuity. I mean, an owner always has the right to come. So we have a situation where if we change it to RM7, then we are not being consistent with the representations that it would be the same. If that property owner came to us in a year and asked to rezone from the R17 to the RM7, would we be honored, bound by that representation we made, you know, a year ago, that we would never change the zoning from what the county had? So you do have some conflicting kind of ideas. And so the for me, the decision is, you know, what's the best? If we're going to do something that was different than what the representations were made, then we do it when it is in the best interest. And for me, it's very close. And so, you know, I would say I would be in favor of the RM7. I just don't think it's a materially different outcome.
Thank you. I agree that there are multiple things going on here, and one of them is that within the way that the code is written and the zoning is written, there's not a lot of control of the density number. And under each one, it's under number two. And Commissioner Holbrook brought a good point that under the RM7, we as a commission are allowed a little bit more control over requiring guest parking. But the request by most of the public that we heard tonight is to keep it at the R17, which still gives you six units there, but we cannot manage parking at all. That is just the way that the code is written, where when we move into the RM7, it still is bound by the property size to six units, unless something crazy happened, which we don't foresee. Within all of the work that the staff has done, like, just the square footage there allows for six, but we can require guest parking underneath that zoning. And so it's an interesting balance for me to feel like I want to hear the public, but also as a commissioner and understanding the expertise of our staff, realizing that it might not be in the best interest of what you guys are asking for tonight to keep it under the RM7. What I'm hearing you say is we want more parking, we want streetlights, we want sidewalks, and we are hearing you say that, and that is funneling it into R17, where really the place where we may be able to have the most control of that to help this area out is under the RM7. So that's my input.
Also, correct me if I'm wrong, Sherry, but do multi-family units typically, there were some concerns about water usage and things like that, but would our RM7, are those typically actually more efficient with water, or is that not an issue, is a non-issue based on landscaping and things like that? Or
so the other thing that would come into play with the landscaping under a new subdivision would be our new conservation water or conservation landscape ordinance. And so there would be limited sod that could be put in either of the two developments. Just even if they came in and wanted to do six single family dwellings on 7,000 square foot lots, they still, yeah, it, the, the, the amount of sod would be limited per unit, period.
Thanks.
And to Commissioner Stone's point, the single family dwelling that's on the lot now versus multifamily unit, most likely the multifamily unit would consume less water than the single family unit. Water Ooh. That's watering a lawn or turf
Maybe.
Is gone into the ground. What you use in your own home is recycled, gone to the water treatment plant, and sent off.
Yeah, maybe. I it just depends on how it's landscaped.
Again, I just don't think we can make a decision based on speculation and hypotheticals. I don't think that ought to enter into it. I think it ought to come down to, do we honor and respect the concerns of the surrounding community who voiced substantive concerns, and decide that because of Sycamore Grove, which really was kind of a square peg anyway, and it doesn't really fit what necessarily the city would have done in and of itself. It would have been different density, right?
Right.
But the zoning that is currently there would have allowed the property owner to change
but you look at
the anyway, whether the
Sycamore
Grove existed
or
not.
The sea green around it, it is a square peg kind of. It is there, and nothing's going to change that. But for the fact that that's there, it just seems like it was a bit of a one-off.
Commissioner Stone, so if this own property owner wanted to, let's say it didn't get RM7 today, what is the possibility of him asking for that later? Is there a time like that he has to wait to reapply for a change?
I believe in the code it's at least 1 year if you receive a denial of a request for a rezone, unless you've materially changed what you were proposing in the first place, unless something has changed. And I don't see anything that would change because we don't actually have a proposal here. But it would be at least a one-year time period before they could ask again. And I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know if that would be constitutional, because I think anybody can ask at any time. In my humble opinion, I think any property owner has the right to ask for a zone change at any time. But.
All right. If we have more comment discussion, we can do that. If somebody would like to formulate a motion and see how that goes, we can move towards that, whatever the commission is ready to do.
Do we want to start in order with backtracking away from Blundell for just a moment to the zoning code text amendments, because I think they're really independent of the Blundell request. So that being the case, mic's on. Commissioner Jorgensen, I move that the Planning Commission recommend to the City Council the proposed text amendments to Title 10, Chapter 10, and Chapter 25 as presented, as amended, with the following findings. One, the proposed amendment is in accord with the comprehensive general plan goals and policies of the city. Two, changed or changing conditions make the proposed amendment reasonably necessary to carry out the purposes stated in the title. And three, the proposed ordinance will provide an equitable opportunity for the creation of additional affordable housing in the R1 and RM7 zones in accordance with the city's moderate income plan. Four, the proposed amendment will mitigate the impact of commercial property heights when adjacent to single-family residences.
Great. Thank you, Commissioner Jorgensen. Do we have a second?
Commissioner Holbrook, second.
Thank you. Any discussion or comment on that motion as it's put forward? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And the zoning code text amendments pass. Thank you.
Nice job, Sherry. Very thoughtful.
I'm sorry, did you ask me a question?
No, I said nice
job.
You
said good job.
Oh.
All right, and we can move to the Blundell zoning request motion if we want to, or we can discuss that more. We also can move to the Valverde area zoning if we want to let that sit for a minute, discuss that if there's discussion around that.
Commissioner Holbrook? I move that the Planning Commission recommend to the City Council the proposed zoning map amendment at 3943 South, 850 West to RM7 with the following findings. The proposed amendment is in accord with the comprehensive general plan, goals, and policies of the city. Two changed or changing conditions make the proposed amendment reasonably necessary to carry out the purposes stated in this title. And three, the proposed RM7 zone is adjacent to the existing RM7 zone and is similar in character of the neighborhood development pattern.
Thank you, Commissioner Holbrook. Do we have a second?
I'll second. That's Commissioner Tucker.
Thank you, Commissioner Tucker. And discussion or comment on the motion?
You probably have a roll call.
Okay. We'll do this as a roll call vote. We'll start with Commissioner Holbrook. All
yay.
In favor, say yay. Commissioner yay. Stone? Commissioner
yay.
Tucker? Commissioner Larson, yay?
Yay.
Ward?
Nay.
Nay.
Okay, and that's Moss and Jorgensen. Okay, and 5-2, so the motion carries.
4-3.
Oh, thank you. Two. Thank you for the clarification.
You voted nay, Commissioner Tucker?
No.
Or Stone, okay.
So Stone, Moss, Jorgensen as nay, and then the others.
I'm sorry, nay and yay sound the same.
I know, they do very
when
much.
You have great hearing.
Yeah, okay. That motion carries. And then we can move to the Valverde Annexation Area Zoning Map discussion. Or a motion.
Sorry, I just have a question. What are the implications of that motion that was just made on the map motion? Are there any? Or is it accurate as is?
So the map would be as amended with the Blundell. That would be the motion.
So that little would go in green, go orange.
I'm sorry.
Follow
up. We have
up,
too many
then.
Screens open and I can't.
If see. I. Sorry, I'm chatting through this with
yes
you all.
On
yes.
It with, if you voted no.
Yes, I am overall in favor of the zoning map amendment with the exception of the Blundell property. How would I phrase that in a yay or nay? It was a recommendation, but it hasn't technically been.
I think you could say I vote yay with my stated objection to the prior one.
Okay.
So you're still on record.
Thank you.
It didn't overlap. I would like to make a motion. I move that the Planning Commission recommend to the City Council the proposed zoning map amendment for the Valverde Annexation Area with the following findings. One, the proposed amendment is in accord with the Comprehensive General Plan, goals, and policies of the city. Two, changed or changing conditions make the proposed amendment reasonably necessary to carry out the purposes stated in this title. Three, the proposed zoning for the area is similar in character of the neighborhood development pattern. Four, the proposed zoning for the area will provide the property owners with the zoning that is equal to or greater than the rights and uses enjoyed under the previous county zoning prior to annexation.
Thank you, Commissioner Ward. Do we have a second?
Commissioner Holbrook, second.
Thank you. Any discussion or comment on the motion? All in favor say aye.
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 Did we get
aye? With the caveat that my objection to the previous recommendation is noted.
Ditto that.
Okay. All right. Thank you. And then that motion also carries. Thank you, everyone, for being here. Thank you for coming and letting us hear your voice. We really appreciate the input and helping us better understand the needs of this area as we integrate it into the city and try and help you guys all get the needs that you need met with the landscape and living and situation over there. We really appreciate the input. Thank you.
And just for the record, I would let everyone know that this will go to the City Council next Tuesday, February 21st. Their meeting starts at 7 p.m.
Next Tuesday, 7 p.m. That's the next step in this process. And we will go to agenda item number 7, report on City Council action.
So I wanted to report that last week on the 7th, the Lyme Memorandum of Understanding was approved by the City Council, and so within a couple months, hopefully they'll be up and operating. Also, the parking code was updated by the City Council. That's not under the Planning Commission's purview, so that's why you didn't review it, because it's in Title 6, and you, the Land Use Code is Title 10. But I just wanted to make you aware that there was a couple loopholes in the that we've noticed as we were giving out parking tickets. And one of those, we didn't have specifically any statement that said all vehicles parked on a public street must be licensed and registered. And so we're putting that into the code so that in the event that, I know it doesn't help very much because they're on a bountiful city street, that car dealership, but it does help with other car dealerships when they move their unlicensed vehicles onto the street. We have to work through other avenues with that particular issue on 850 West, which we are pursuing. The police chief is aware of it, and we will be working with Bountiful and working from our side on code enforcement on the business license operations, because the operation requires them to keep all of their vehicles on their property, not on the street, even though it's not our street. So we'll be doing a joint effort with Bountiful to try and take care of that issue. I wanted to let you know the Health and Wellness Committee, at their meeting on Monday, they discussed that they wanted to have a couple representatives from the Health and Wellness Committee go to the various other city committees just to update you on what their activities have been since their creation last year, and to ask if there are anything that they could do to assist the Planning Commission or help collaborate with the Planning Commission. So they're planning on sending a couple of their members to one of our meetings in March. I haven't calendared that yet. I'm going to base that upon what we have on the agenda, but it'll likely be that first meeting in March.
And can I ask you really quick, Sherry, mm-hmm. Does the Health and Wellness Committee have like a mission statement or a purpose statement?
They do, and it's really broad.
Well, before I know, I'm not asking you to say it here. Before the meeting where they're going to be with us, will you send that to us in a packet
Absolutely.
Or an email so that we yes. can better understand what their yes. mission is
so
and merge that?
So it goes from emergency preparedness to mental health.
Yeah, then
to
we can see
physical
where the
trails
intersectionality between Planning Commission
yep.
matches up there, and be better prepared
yep.
to have any conversation with them.
Yes.
Thank you.
And they've been doing a terrific job, so... we're happy to have them on board, and they want to get more involved and collaborate more with the other various committees, the Parks Committee, as well as the Planning Commission and the Golf Committee even. And then the last thing I wanted to let you know is that next, on the March 7th meeting, the City Council meeting, they will be discussing the active transportation plan and talking about bike lanes and protected bike lanes. And so I want to just make you aware of that. If you're interested in that, you're welcome to attend that work session. That will be at 6:00 on March 7th. So, but it'll be interesting to see. They're trying to figure out how to implement some of these things to make biking and walking safer in our community. And then just provide you again, I want to keep that timeline for the form-based code on your radar. So I'm continued to leave that on the slideshow from last time.
Helpful. We hired an intern.
Oh, and we did hire an intern.
Oh, yay!
She starts next Wednesday.
Great.
She's a master's of planning student at the University of Utah. So
That's
we're
wonderful.
Excited to have her join our team and for you to meet her.
That's great. Now Mackenzie can go have her baby with less stress.
That
she's dumping on
July.
Sherry.
Just a little bit less stress, not...
Well, that you have a little bit of help will be great. I'm glad that happened. All right. Anything else from City Council action
nope.
items?
Nope.
Okay, thank you. And then approval of the minutes from 1:24, if there's any amendments to be made to the minutes.
I'm prepared to offer a motion.
Great, thank
they
you.
They look great. Commissioner Jorgensen, I make a motion that we approve the minutes as drafted for the January 24th, 2023 Planning Commission meeting.
Thank you. And a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Commissioner Tuckler. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Thank you. And we are adjourned. Thank you for being here.
Recording stopped.
I have been to a lot of your meetings.
They represent the developers.
Everyone has gone against the people who live in the area. And that is this.
Wait till they build at your house.
Yeah, wait till they build at
your house. They'll knock down your neighbor's house and put a high rise there.
I'm sorry, I can't hear what you're saying. I can't either. I'm definitely here. And you guys all talk very low. It's really annoying for deaf people.
Never.
Just saying, and you got your mouths behind.